And this is Fannerman. He of the Cheshire Smile.
Okay. Don't forget to help us with the shot of Groucho. And if you wouldn't mind waiting for just a minute after the show, we'll turn the cameras and the lights around, take your picture, and you'll be on the screens all over the country, too. All right, roll it, Doc. Yes, you will. Roll it, please.
Ready? All right. Mm. Nothing to get ready. Say, a little short. That's all I get tonight? One cup on? Thanks.
All right.
Get gone, Fannerman.
Ladies and gentlemen, the secret word tonight is water. W-A-T-E-R.
Really?
You bet your life! The more than 3,000 DeSoto Plymouth dealers of America present Groucho Marx in You Bet Your Life, the comedy quiz series produced and transcribed from Hollywood. And here he is, the one, the only...
Gad, what a cad. Oh, that's me. Well, here I am again with 1,500 smackers for one of our couples. If any of them say the secret word, the duck here will come down and pay him $100. The word tonight is water. Beat it. Now,
Groucho, our studio audience selected some newlyweds to be on our show tonight just before we went on the air, and here they come, Mr. and Mrs. Jerry Engel. Come on in here and meet Groucho Marx.
Welcome, youngsters, for the DeSoto Plymouth dealers. Say the secret word and you'll divide $100. It's a common word, something you see every day. Mr. and Mrs. Jerry, newlyweds. Well, I'm always happy to see newlyweds up here. It gives us a warm, cozy, glowing feeling. Say, I sound like Fireside Theater. You're the groom, I presume, huh? Pretty sharp tonight. Where are you all from?
Well, I'm from Long Beach.
Oh, Long Beach, huh? How long since you left Long Beach?
10 years.
You mean it took you that long to get a bus?
Well,
you living here in...
At present time, yes.
I see. And Mrs. Engel, huh?
Uh-huh.
What's your first name?
Larry.
Larry?
Yes.
Like a motor Larry, you mean? Larry, huh? Like Annie Lowe. Where are you from?
The Bronx.
The Bronx? And you're from Long Beach?
Yes, sir.
Wow. How old are you, Larry? I realize a gentleman never asked that question, so how old are you?
I'm 20.
20, huh? Whereabouts in the Bronx did you live? I used to live in the Bronx years ago.
I lived near the Bronx Zoo.
You lived near the Bronx Zoo? I lived in it. How old are you, Jerry?
I'm 21.
21, huh? Mm-hmm. What does Laurie call you when you're all alone?
I'd rather not say.
All right, I won't embarrass you by asking anymore. I won't press you. What do you call him, Laurie?
I call him Sugar Plum.
Sugar Plum? Did you pick that up in the Bronx? Or from a fruit stand? Well, let's find out something about you, too. Jerry, how newlywedded are you? Are you still on your honeymoon?
Well, yes and no.
Yes and no? You mean she's still honeymooning, but the honeymoon is over as far as you're concerned, is that it? Would you straighten me out, Laurie? You can straighten him out when you get home.
Well, the formal honeymoon is over, but, well, we hope that our marriage will always be honeymoon.
Isn't that almost sickening? Well, let's refresh. That's what I like about newlyweds. They're so warm and cozy and glowing. Plus that, they haven't the slightest idea what they're talking about. Now, I hope with you that your marriage will be a long and successful one and that you have a constant honeymoon up until your golden wedding. And then you can start slugging it out. By that time, you won't be able to. How long have you been married, Annie, Jerry, Laurie?
Let's see. Well, we've been married 6 months now and about 3 weeks.
6 months and 3 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
You're still counting it by the weeks, huh?
Still counting.
Wait till you start counting by the decades, huh? What sort of work do you do, Jerry?
Well, at the present time, Mr. Marks, I'm an auditor, and I'm hoping to become a CPA.
See, it must be a pretty shady racket if you have to spell it. What is a CPA? Is that anything like an APA or an OPA?
No, that stands for a certified public accountant.
Well, how do I know you're certified? You don't even look homogenized. What does certified mean? They vaccinate you or something each morning before you go to work?
Oh, well, a certified public accountant is an accountant who's been licensed by the state. He is certified by the state after he has passed an exam which consists of 4 parts, and after he has served a term of experience of at a minimum of 2 years. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm on my way to completing that experience requirement.
Why do I always run into these curious occupations? Why couldn't you just come up here and say you were a plumber?
No, I'm not a plumber.
Well, if you were, you'd have to hire your own CPA. I know, I paid a plumbing bill yesterday. $19 for a washer. What was there about Laurie here that attracted you to her, Jerry? Particularly, I mean, was it her smile or the way she walked? Or?
As I remember, a friend of mine had a picture of her, and he was showing it to everybody, and when I came over, he wouldn't let me see it. So I got curious, and
I should think so.
I wanted to find out what it was.
Was it a bikini bathing suit?
I never found out. I just had to go to the source, and so I met Laurie, and since then I'm taking my own pictures.
Now, what kind of work does a CPA do? I hate it. Laurie, what kind of work does your husband do?
He balances books, and he helps fix income tax statements.
There's hardly anybody that isn't.
I mean, he prepares.
You don't mean that he fixes them, huh? You mean that he prepares them? Is that what you
yes.
mean? First you prepare them, and then they get fixed.
He balances books, and he
works... He's a juggler, in other words.
He works with figures and ledgers and debits and credits. And... Let me see.
Well, that's pretty interesting. I knew debits and credits very well. They had a store over in Santa Monica. It used to be Manny, Moe, and Jack originally. Suppose I hired you. What could you do for me, Jerry?
Well, it depends. It matters what your requirements are.
My requirements are very simple. A loaf of bread, a jug of wine, and Phil Spitalny's all-girl orchestra. I used to say, don't Spitalny floor years ago, but never got a laugh, so we could say. Well, Jerry, stop evading the issue. What kind of services could you perform for me?
Well, I could manage your personal affairs.
Thanks. If it's all the same to you, I'll manage my own affairs. And you, a newlywed, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. No wonder they wouldn't show you that picture.
That isn't what I meant.
Well, maybe I don't understand what's your interpretation of personal affairs.
Well, I would take care of your income and expenses. I would...
Could you get me a mink coat?
Not as if your income could pay for it.
What else could you do for me?
Well, I'd give you an allowance and...
How much?
Depends.
Depends on what? How much you want to give me?
Well, couldn't give you more than you're making.
No, that's quite true, huh? That's in Georgia, isn't it, Macon? Now, do you like this work particularly, Jerry?
Yes, I do.
Why?
Groucho. Well, there's very interesting personal contact. You're always meeting new clients, all types of clients. And you go to their different places of business and you
stick your nose in their affairs.
Well, it is a challenge, too. I mean, you do have a challenge as to preparing statements and drawing a picture of the business as it really is.
Now, as the head of a family, do you believe every married couple should operate on a budget?
Oh, definitely. They
do, huh?
They should live within their means.
Are you aware of that, Laurie?
Yes, I
have
become
aware. When he proposed to you outside of the zoo? Huh? What would you consider, Jerry, a good workable budget for your own family, for example?
Well, about 25% would go to food, 20% to rent, that's 45%, and 5% utilities, and 10% transportation,
that's 60,
and 10% would go to clothing.
That's 70.
And 5% to savings.
75.
And taxes, you can, to be conservative, about 20%.
That's 95.
And, well, we could plug the extra 5 with miscellaneous.
That's you, Laurie, miscellaneous. Who's miscellaneous? Are you? Is there another woman?
Well,
do you agree with this budget, Laurie, or do you think you could make out on that?
Well, Jerry eliminated old vacations and good times.
Yes, entertainment. That's quite true. Now, how much do you think should be allotted for entertainment, for example?
Oh, I don't know. About 12%.
And how much would you set aside for vacations?
About 10.
How does this add up with your ideas, Jerry?
That makes 122% of my income.
Kids, I predict your marriage will be a long and expensive one. You better win some money here tonight. Like. Now, in just 1 minute, you're going to play your Bet Your Life for a chance at the $1,500 question. But before you do, here's something that every young couple should know. All right, now let's see how you work together as a team. George, would you mind explaining the rules to these Hansel and Gretel over here?
All right. You bet as much of your $20 as you want on each of 4 questions, and the couple that earns the most money gets a chance at the $1,500 DeSoto Plymouth question later in the show.
It's the voice of doom here. Warden Laws. Here we go. Let's see how high I can build you $20. You selected adjacent states. Here's your first question. How much will you bet? Is that adjacent in the fleece, or is that just adjacent? Here's your first question. How much of the $20 are you going to bet?
16.
This would be a good test of your ability as a CPA.
16.
All right. What state is directly north of Oregon?
Washington.
Washington is right.
Well, you're off to a good start. You have $36.
Remember, you're going for $1,500 tonight. How much of your $36 will you bet on your second question?
35.
Okay. 35.
35. What state is directly west of Texas?
Texas is New Mexico.
New Mexico is on the box.
Really on your way, you have $71.
Aren't you proud of him, Laurie?
Yes.
Here's your third question. How much of the 71 are you going to go for?
70.
She's the boss.
When they start admitting that on the 6th month. All right, you're going to bet 70. What state is directly west of Utah?
Utah. Nevada.
Nevada is correct.
You now have $141.
And here's your last chance to beat the other couples. How much of the 141?
All of it.
All right. What state is directly south of Georgia?
Georgia. Florida.
Florida is right.
And you wind up with $282.
Put it there, kid. Thanks and good luck from the DeSoto Plymouth dealers. Oh, say, I've got a note here to remind me to tell you something. I just finished reading a book called Showbiz by Abel Green and Joe Laurie Jr. It's the best book I've read about show business, and when you read it, I think you'll agree. Make a note of that, Fenneman.
I'll do that. We have a barber and a lady pharmacist for you now, Groucho. They
yeah,
both were selected from the audience just before we went on the air. Miss Nadine McLaughlin, Mr. Louis Horrow, come in here and meet Groucho Marx.
Well, welcome to your Bet Your Life. Say the secret word and divide $100. It's a common word, something you see every day. Let's see now. A lady pharmacist and a barber, eh? Miss McLaughlin, are you the barber?
No, I'm the pharmacist.
Oh, you're the pharmacist. I thought maybe you were the pharmacist's daughter, huh? Well, a pharmacist can give you a close shave, too, you know. All you have to do is accidentally put ant paste in somebody's vitamin pills and... really cook. Where are you from, Nadine?
Well, I was born in a little stone house behind a garage.
Oh,
station.
I know those houses. Hanging them out of stone now.
California.
Well, I know Victorville, too. You were born in a stone house outside of a garage in Victorville, California.
That's right.
Well, how come?
That's where... I don't know. That's just where it happened to be.
Well, you'd have been born any place where you were born, huh? You weren't
right.
at all particular.
I wasn't particular.
Didn't care at all. Nadine is a very pretty name. It's what is that, the derivative of Nadine, do you know? Why were you named Nadine?
Because I... My mother knew a lady named Nadine.
Are you sure she was a lady?
I hope so.
And that was the only reason?
Uh-huh.
Well, it's a very pretty name. May I ask how old you are?
I'm 21.
21. Are you married?
Yes.
Well, I'm off to Mexico anyhow. Tell me, you say you're married. Is he a pharmacist's mate?
Well, yes. And I'm a pharmacist's mate because he's a pharmacist and I'm a pharmacist.
Oh, both pharmacists, huh?
Right.
Oh, you're really a drug on the market between you. How did you meet your husband?
Well, it was down in the laboratory at the University of Southern California, and we were rolling pills together. And, well, one thing led to another, and...
Yes, I guess so. Those pills will do that, you know. You probably wound up with a bowling ball. What do you mean, you were rolling pills down the hall, or...?
No, you roll them in your fingers.
Oh, is that the way you roll pills? Oh. And what happened? You liked the way he was rolling these things?
Well, I decided that if I couldn't catch a husband in pharmacy school, where the boys outnumbered the girls 20-1, that I'd be doomed to sell aspirin the rest of my life.
What grain, do you remember?
What difference does it make?
It really doesn't make any difference. It's always nice to have some kind of a rejoinder. When somebody gets through making a statement that bewilders me. Now, does that clarify that for you, Nadine? Back to the stone house, Nadine. Mr. Lewis Harrow, huh?
Yes,
you
sir.
You must be the barber, huh?
Yes, I am.
Where are you from, Louis?
I'm from Guadalajara, Mexico.
Oh, I Guadalajara at home. She's about 5 years old. I'll be in Mexico tomorrow morning.
Well, congratulations.
Are you congratulating me or Mexico? Oh. Are you married, Louis?
Yes, I am. Mm-hmm.
You have children?
Oh, we only have 5 children. That's the first batch, you know.
First batch? What are you raising, cookies? I guess these are raisin cookies. What are their names? Do you recall any of their names?
Well... It's quite confusing, you see. My older boy's name is after me, and my daughter's after
your older,
my wife.
Your older boy is after you?
What? I mean, has the same name as mine.
Oh.
So
what's
we
his name?
Lewis.
Oh. So. That's a coincidence. That's the same name you've got.
So we call
him... wonders never cease.
So we call him by numbers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, to make it easier, so it wouldn't be so confusing.
What do you mean, make it easier for the next batch, you mean?
Well...
You're going to start off again with Louis on the second 5?
Well, probably. We started a family of Louis the 15th, probably.
Pretty snappy with a quip, this Bob. It's the type that won't let you read a newspaper. How'd you meet your wife, number one?
Well, I met her in a department store. I went in there to get some shirts. Unfortunately, I didn't know my size, so she was very glad to tell me what size I was supposed to wear.
How old were you then, Louis?
Well, I was 21.
You were 21? You didn't know what size shirt you wore?
No.
I may not go to Mexico.
Well, we use a different system, you know. We
you
use
do?
The metric system in Mexico. You use your...
So well, what kind of size shirt do you wear here?
Well, size 15.
And what would you wear in Mexico?
Well...
Called Louis, I suppose, huh?
13.
13, huh? No, that's quite interesting, huh? Now, have you kept your shirt all these years in the shirt shop? Did you notice a short fellow with glasses? I forget his name, but he's in Washington now. Was this And then what happened with this girl after she told you what size shirt you
wore? Well, I kept on coming to the store every day to buy a pair of shoelaces. Next day, maybe a tie or something like that.
She was in all different departments, huh?
Well, I was always chasing after her.
I see. And you finally lost your shirt, is that it?
Finally.
Well, what happened then? Was this girl the only one you took out, or did you have dates with other women?
No, I took her mother, too.
What was her mother selling?
Well, she was a perfect chaperone, so we took her along with us.
You mean you went out on a date, you took the old
That's
lady
right.
along, too?
Yes, indeed.
And what happened?
Well...
Silly question, right?
You know, the five children...
Well, when you went out on these dates, what did the chaperone do? Did they just curl up with a good book?
No, they did the same thing as we did.
You mean you have 10 kids now? I stayed away from Mexico too long. Here or in Mexico?
No, this was here.
Oh, well, maybe I'll cancel my trip. Now, Nadine, you're a pharmacist, eh? Where do you work?
I work out in Westchester at Converse Drug.
Congress Drug, eh?
Converse.
Converse Drug? Uh-huh. Is it like Horton and Converse?
I think the nephew.
I see. What happened to Horton? It's like that Malino and Simon. I told you about Simon getting smaller all the time. Malino's getting bigger on those benches. What a rooking Simon must have got. Well, what are your duties as a pharmacist? Do you sell people gopher traps and suspenders and beach balls and things like that?
No, I'm a pharmacist. I fill prescriptions, make up solutions, check the stock, roll a few pills.
You like that, huh?
Yeah.
Well, suppose a doctor has a hypochondriac like me and he wants to give me something harmless just to shut me up. What would he prescribe?
Oh, placebo, I guess.
Placebo? That's in Mexico, isn't it? I'm not really sick. I'm just a hypochondriac. What's a placebo? Do you know, Louis?
Well, placebo is... I'm not a pharmacist, but...
Well, I'm not.
I think it's some kind of a pill.
Louis gives a good guarded answer, doesn't he? What is a placebo, Nadine?
Well, he's right. It's a pill, but it's a milk sugar pill.
You get milk out of them? What do you mean, a milk sugar pill?
Well, lactose is milk sugar, and it's made of milk sugar.
Mm-hmm. And people really take these sugar pills and never know the difference?
Sure.
I'm probably full of placebos and don't know it. Next time I'm sick, I'll go to the grocery store and eliminate the middleman. Do these lactose pills have any other value other than poisoning the victim?
Oh, sure. They have a psychological value.
They have?
Uh-huh. The people take them for the imaginary sickness. Mm-hmm. And,
psychosomatic, you mean, huh?
Right. And, the pills do a lot of good because the people really didn't have anything in the first place.
Well, you assume that most people are hypochondriacal?
No.
Hmm?
No.
Just a few of them, huh? I noticed some strange language on my prescription. Now, what language is that?
That's probably Latin.
It's very appropriate, writing a prescription in a dead language. Why do doctors write their prescriptions in Latin?
So the patients can't read them.
What is their purpose in not in keeping the patient mystified?
No, really, the true reason is that Latin's an international language, and so the prescription could be filled in any country.
Mm-hmm. Well, has Horton got a place in, or Converse got a? Could you give us a typical symbol of Latin?
Well, there's PRN, pro re nata.
PRN. What does that mean? Give this sucker a dose of sugar?
No, that means as needed. Take as needed. Or so forth.
Mm. Well, let's get back to your barbershop, Louie. By the way, where is it?
Well, that's located at Bullock's Wilshire.
Oh, you can get clipped on any floor there.
On the fourth floor.
You realize you'll be at Auerbach's tomorrow. In the basement, too. What's a barbershop doing in a department store?
Well, that's mostly for the convenience of the customers. This is a specialized only for children. So that's why I don't wear anything white, so the children won't think I'm a doctor. And after the performance is over, I mean, after the haircut, they all...
Performance, you call it.
Well, yes, indeed. It's quite a trick to cut some of those little boys' hair sometimes. Well, then I give them a cookie or bubble gum, which they prefer.
Well, are there any other differences between cutting children and adults' hair?
Well, let's put it this way. I'm just like a flyer. What can be a flyer and can be a stunt flyer. So the children move so much that I have to be quick on the trigger.
Your customers are all little shavers. How do you like that little joke, Louie?
Wonderful.
I thought you'd like it. That joke has whiskers on it. You can shave that joke in the morning, Louie. Well, have you had any hair-raising experiences as a children's barber?
Well, yes, indeed. I had one in particular. That a man came in with a youngster.
With what?
And with a little youngster.
That's what he said the first time.
Well, anyway, I asked him how he wanted the haircut. I was afraid to ask him short or long, and so he says, well, give him the works. So I cut the child's hair very short with sideburns and all, and it happened to be a girl.
Well, did you actually think that this was a boy?
Yes, I did so. Because she was wearing a little trousers, you know. A little
Well, Louie, that sure was a good joke on you. Well, that little girl grew up and is now Gorgeous George. Well, you taught me a lot tonight, and if I'm smart, I'll never take another pill unless I'm getting my hair cut. And if you're smart, you'll visit your DeSoto Plymouth dealer for the best in service. Remember that, Nadine. And you too, Louie. Thanks. Now you're going to play your bet your life. You beat our other couples, and you'll get a chance at the $1,500 question. I can't tell you how much you have to win, but George is going to remind our listeners. Here we go. Let's see how high I can build you $20. You selected famous physical characteristics. Here's your first question. How much of the 20 will you risk? Talk it over. That's your partner, Nadine.
That's not what we selected.
This is not what you selected?
No.
There's foul play here.
Rivers, didn't we?
Rivers?
Mm-hmm.
You got an old man out there with Rivers? Old man Rivers.
Wait a minute. Yeah, all right.
Well, I'm sorry. There'll be heads rolling here in the morning. There's a crook backstage here someplace. Have you met Mr. Dwan, the director? All right, here we go. Let's see how high I can bill you $20. You selected United States River Cities. Seems to me I said that. here's your first question. How much will you bet?
Well, 16.
Are you sure you're married, Nadine?
Yes.
No, I'm sorry. All right, $16. On what river is the city of Cincinnati?
Ohio.
That's right, Ohio. You know, you can talk it over.
Well, you're on your way. You have $36.
Remember, you're going for $1,500 tonight. How much of the 36 will you bet on your second question? How much?
33.
On what river is the city of El Paso?
Rio Grande.
Rio Grande is right.
You now have $69.
Rio Grande. Here's your third question, then. How much will you bet at the 69 smackers?
How many more rivers do you know?
Well, let's go, Rivers. He fought Battling Nelson. Old man Rivers.
We go 60.
How many we got
left? You have
left?
69 bucks now.
Come on. 67,
all right. And what river is the city of Minneapolis?
On what river?
Talk it over and take a stab at it if you don't know. On what river is the city of Minneapolis?
St. Lawrence?
Yes.
St. Lawrence?
I'm surprised at you. Mississippi River runs all the way down from Minneapolis down to New Orleans.
You now have $2.
All right, here's your last chance to beat the other couples. How much will you bet?
$2.
$2. On what river is the city of Albany?
Albany, that's in New York.
Take a guess. Well, it's the Hudson River.
Roger.
And that was a very easy question. Well, we can't let you go away from here broke. I'll give you one more question. You answer correctly, and we'll see that you don't leave here with less than $25. You've got nothing, so the $25 will make up the difference. That's obscure to me, too. Now, think hard now, and please no help from the audience. In what city do you find the Hollywood YWCA?
Hollywood.
Hollywood is right. Thanks and good luck from the DeSoto Plymouth dealers.
We asked if there were any women present tonight who had unusual hobbies. And just before we went on the air, Mrs. Mary V. Hood was selected. Her partner, Mr. James W. Monte, is a very unusual man, Groucho, and I'm sure you'll understand why I invite him to be at our show tonight when you meet him. So, folks, come on in and meet Groucho Marx.
Welcome, kids, for the DeSoto Plymouth Dealers. Say the secret word and divide $100. It's a common word, something you see every day. Right up there, that's right. Mrs. Mary V. Hood and Mr. James W. Monte. Mrs. Hood, where are you from, originally?
I was born at Valescure in France.
You were born in France? Mm-hmm. That's a kind of a strange name, isn't it? That isn't a French name, is it? Hood?
Hood? No. Uh-huh. I'm an American citizen.
Oh, I see. How long since you left France? Or France?
That's arithmetic. 25, 30 years?
Well, that's close enough. Where's your French accent, Mrs. Hood?
Living in England and living in America, I didn't stay long enough there to get one.
I see. What does your husband do, Mrs. Hood?
He teaches mathematics.
You mean like addition and subtraction?
No, he's college education.
Oh, long division, eh?
Well, he calls it integral calculus and analytics and, nasty things like that. Long words. Great, yeah. Big long words. Well, 25 years, I haven't had time yet to know it.
You haven't absorbed any of this, Mrs. Hood?
I'm careful what I learn.
I'm not. I'm infected with trivia of all kinds. Mr. Monte, where were you born?
Born in Macomb, Illinois, in a log cabin.
In a log cabin, huh?
Yeah.
How old are you?
Well, on my next birthday, I'll be 90 years old.
Oh. Well, you must have been born quite some time ago.
A few days ago.
You're almost 90 years old?
Yes, sir.
Well, Mr. Monte, we get familiar in a hurry around here. What shall I call you?
Everybody calls me Daddy.
I'll be very happy to call you Daddy. Happier than you realize. Imagine me calling anyone Daddy. I'll call you Dada. And you can call me Number One. Or Louie, if you prefer. Are you married, Dad?
Yes, sir.
You are, huh? How long have you been married?
57 years.
Well, stick to it. It may work out all right. How large is your clan? How green is my valley, I suppose? How large is your family?
Four children. Seven grandchildren, seven great-grandchildren.
How about great-great-grandchildren?
You have to give me time.
gonna need more than that, Dada.
Mr. Monty, how did you meet Mrs. Monty?
That's how I had in the photograph business. Salem, Oregon.
You were a photographer?
Yes, sir.
Well, how did you meet her?
Her father wanted to have a picture made at her home. He invited me to come up and make a picture of the house and the family.
In that order?
I met her out. She was out sweeping off the walk. She asked if I was the artist that her father had engaged for to make the picture, and I told her yes. But she says, come in the house, and we'll be ready in just a few minutes. She went out and went around to the back door and came in the kitchen. I heard her tell her mother, says the artist is coming. He's a cute little fella, too.
Well, she was right.
Well.
And you heard this, huh?
I heard that.
And what was your reaction to this?
Well,
you took some close-ups, huh?
3 years at that time we were married.
That's 3 years?
Reaction.
Well, everything was slower in those days. Now, after 57 years of marriage, have you any advice for younger married couples?
Well, I'd advise a man never to argue with a woman.
You don't believe in arguing with a woman, is that it?
No, sir.
Well, that's sound advice, Dad. If we all did that, we'd all live to be 90. Mrs. Hood, how long have you been married?
26 years.
Do you have any advice for younger married couples?
Yes. First of all, never buy anything that costs more than $10 without talking it over. But that doesn't mean to say that you shouldn't talk everything over, even if it does lead to an argument. It clears the air eventually.
Now, Dad, this isn't exactly in accord with your philosophy. What have you got to say about that?
I said, yes, she's right.
No wonder he got to be 90. Dad, I predict you'll be on this program to celebrate your 190th birthday.
Well, I hope so.
Well, I hope so, too. I hope I'm sitting here. Now, Dad, Fenneman says you're a very unusual man. I'd like to know why, besides the fact that you're a vigorous, healthy 90.
Because I fly.
You mean you just flap your arms and take off?
No, sir. I fly an airplane.
You fly an airplane?
Yes, sir.
Well, that's easier than flapping your arms. Wait a minute. 90, you actually pilot a plane?
Yes, sir.
It's extraordinary. At 90, a man is unusual if he can pilot a rocking chair. How long have you been a pilot, Junior?
I've been a pilot now for quite a while. It's a young fellow.
Well, that was quite a while, all right. I just saw my plane leaving without me. I'm curious, are there any licensed pilots around who are older than you?
I'm told I'm the oldest active licensed pilot in the world.
Wow. When did you first get the urge to pilot a flying machine?
When I was 8 years old.
Well, that's old enough. Why didn't you fly one?
Well, they weren't invented at that time.
Flimsy excuse, if I ever heard of. Well, how did you get the urge to fly if there weren't any airplanes?
I had a vision that I'd fly like the heavy-bodied birds, soar through the skies from city to city and ocean to ocean. Nobody could ever talk me out of it.
Well, you should have patented your vision, then you'd be rich. Perhaps you are. Now, Mrs. Hood, I understand you have an interesting hobby. Could you tell us what it is?
Well, I'm an ecologist.
I'm sorry, but that isn't the secret word tonight. It's a nice try, though. What do you mean, an ecologist?
We study the interrelationship of plants, animals, soil, and water.
Oh. That's a different... Well, you said water. That's the secret word. So you and Pappy over here split $100 between you. 50 for you and 50 for you. In other words, you're a conservationist. Is that right?
That's a good explanation of it.
And a conservationist is someone who likes to talk.
Well, all
to make conservation. And I've just made too much in the last 5 seconds. Now, what are some of the things you do to promote conservation?
Well, one thing, I lecture. I talk about things, and I use, gradually gathered together 10,000 slides.
You've taken 10,000 slides?
Yes, I have taken 10,000 slides.
Mrs. Hood, do you wear a bustle?
I need a safe spin sometimes.
Well, aside from conservation, what are you interested in?
Well, ornithology, ecology, ichthyology. I think a lot of nasty ones for him. Speleology.
What's speleology?
Underground rock climbing.
That must be heaps of fun.
The funny things that live in caves.
Oh. Not prehistoric. You don't have to go that deep out here. Now, does anything exciting ever happen in the world of conservation? What's happened to you, for example?
Oh, I have climbed Mount Whitney, the highest mountain in the United States. I have touched the original Piltdown skull.
How'd you like it?
What? Oh, she was charming.
That's a female?
She was a female. But a little older than Mr. Monty here. It was the original, earliest skull that ever was found in England. That was a long time ago. And both for me and for the skull. And then there was the time I went to Carthage, had my 12th birthday in Carthage. Mm-hmm. And then last summer, hiking in Yosemite, we discovered a subglacial torrent. The remains of one, because there aren't any big glaciers now.
Yes,
then
well,
we've had fun just hiking around. Yes, it's too bad.
Yes, I've always wanted to see one in full bloom.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating.
Now, Dad, well, in your 90 years, what's the most unusual thing that ever happened to you?
Oh, I drove the stage out of Dodge City, Kansas.
You drove the stagecoach?
Yes, 1881 and 82.
Is that so? The stagecoach, huh? They still have him here. Ben Bard is a stagecoach, isn't he?
Yeah, four horses and four mules that drove with that.
You drove four horses and four mules?
Four horses or four mules.
Oh, I see. Well, put on your wings again. Let's start flying. Is there any special ambition you have as a pilot?
I want to fly a jet.
Well, you look just like the movie version of a jet pilot. Why would you like to do that?
Well, bring me up to date.
Dad, you're just a 90-year-old hot rod driver.
I've flown everything from Virginia to DC-6.
You have, eh? Now, do you think it'd be a good idea if everybody learned to fly a plane so we could all get around faster?
I think it would. Everybody learned to fly a plane to get around faster, but the point is to know what they're going to do when they get there.
Well, that problem isn't facing me tomorrow. Now, Dad, you're all right, and even if you weren't piling in an airplane, the rest of us would still have to look up to you. I'm proud to meet a man with your vigor at the age of 90.
Thank you.
And I want to shake the hands of the woman who touched the Piltdown skull. It's always been a yearning of mine. Well, it's been interesting talking to you two, and Dad, you've restored my confidence in flying. I won't get sick anymore when I lick an airplane stand. Then you're going to play your bet your life for a chance at the DeSoto Plymouth $1,500 question. You run your $20 no more than our other couples. I can't tell you how much you have to win, but George is going to remind our listeners. Here we go. Let's see how high I can build you $20. You selected famous physical characteristics. This seems vaguely familiar to me. Here's your first question. How much of the 20 will you try?
We chose mythology.
Mythology.
Well, same thing.
Oh, a famous physical characteristic.
Oh, mythological characters. Is that right?
No, I'm back to Rivers. The next one is the Mississippi. No, I haven't got any mythology here. Would you settle for famous physical characteristics?
We can lose on that just as well as the other.
Do you have a mythology category?
With number K.
Is there a mythology category in the audience? Number K. This is K.
This is number K, and it's called Famous Physical Characteristics.
Well, we were told that was taken, and we chose the mythology.
Which would you rather have?
Mythology, preferably, I believe.
All right, we'll get mythology.
If it's not the former...
Oh, I don't have...
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, well, it doesn't matter. Let's go on.
Let's take this because you'll... these are all pretty easy. I mean, for me, I'm reading them off a piece of paper.
All right, well, are you satisfied that this will be all right? All right, well, now start it over here.
All right.
The only trouble was, you see, I had my education in England. I didn't learn anything about American rivers. They don't talk about it.
No, we're through with it. That river has gone into the Gulf of Mexico. Well, here we go. Let's see how high I can build you $20. You selected famous physical characteristics.
Go out?
I'll go out with him. Spot one, the director. All right, here we go. Coming back in? Here we go. Let's see how I can build you $20. You selected famous physical characteristics. Now, here's your first question. How much of your $20 will you bet?
$15.
All right.
Yeah, that's all right.
What was the name of the large-sized Philistine, who was slain by David Slingshot?
David and Goliath.
Goliath is right.
Well, you're off to a good start. You have $35.
I'll be going for $1,500 tonight. How much of the $35 will you bet on your second question?
$30.
What was the name of the little wooden boy whose nose grew when he told a lie?
Pinocchio.
Pinocchio is right.
You now have $65.
Here's your third question. How much of the $65 will you bet?
$60.
Yeah.
$60?
Yeah. What long-nosed poet helped woo his friend's girl, Roxanne?
Oh, I know it. Suivez ma panache blanche. Cyrano de Bergerac.
Cyrano is right.
You've now climbed to $125.
Imagine a French woman almost missing that, huh?
$120.
Is that what you're going to bet? Okay, here we go. The last chance to beat the other couple is $120. What was the name of the strong man who was weakened when his hair was cut?
Samson
and Delilah. Yes, you can.
Well, you wind up with $245, and that means that the newlyweds with $282 in just 1 minute get a chance at the DeSoto Plymouth $1,500 question.
Me? Now I'd like you to meet a couple of friends of mine.
And here are the newlyweds, the winning couple, all set for the DeSoto Plymouth $1,500 question, Groucho.
Come on in, kids. Here's your chance to find out how much good that CPA education has done you and those years in the Bronx. Yeah, for $1,500, I'll give you 15 seconds to decide on a single answer between you. Think carefully and please no help from the audience. Ready? One of the most famous opera houses in the world is located in Milan, Italy. For $1,500, what is the name of this great musical landmark? Talk it over. What's the answer you two have decided upon? Take a guess.
Vespucci?
No, I'm sorry. It's La Scala. Correct answer is La Scala, so that means the big question next week will be worth $2,000. Well, you lost the big money, but how much did they win on the quiz, George?
$282.
Well, that's not too bad. Congratulations and thanks to both of you and to all of our contestants on the show tonight.
Be sure to tune in again next Wednesday night at the same time for the Groucho Marx Show, when the big question will be worth $2,000. And don't miss Groucho's television show, also presented by the DeSoto Plymouth Dealers of America. And remember, all dealers who sell DeSoto also sell Plymouth. two great cars, both products of the Chrysler Corporation.
And when you drive in, tell them Groucho sent you. Good night, folks, and remember... See the 1952 DeSoto.
Folks, here's a reminder from the National Safety Council. You can't control the weather, but you can control your speed. You Bet Your Life, transcribed from Hollywood, is produced by John Goodell, directed by Robert Dwan and Bernie Smith. Music by Jerry Fielding. This is George Fenneman signing off for the more than 3,000 DeSoto Plymouth dealers from coast to coast.
Here he is, the one, the only.